1912, Miss Kelly was sitting down with a reporter from the Washington Post. Kelly began describing a curse that had been put on her people centuries before. You see, Kelly was a direct descendant of Chief Hawkwing, a ferocious leader who ripped the lands from an ancient prehistoric race who once inhabited it. "There is a curse on this place," she said. "Yellow Hair cursed it." Several years earlier, her own husband was run over by a train in a bizarre accident. "I have always wondered if it will extend to me," she said. On the banks of the Ohio River, her people have been living for over 300 years. For 3 miles, the river makes a bend between Jeffersonville, Indiana, and Louisville, Kentucky. The waters swirl there, and in the middle is a cataract known as Corn Island. Kelly recalled a song her mother used to sing to her about the white people who used to inhabit their land. The song described a giant chief named Yellowhair. Yellowhair and his people kept the area all to themselves and wouldn't let the Shawnee catch fish or even hunt their lands. Legend said Chief Hawkwing approached Yellowhair one day and asked them to be able to share the land together and make peace. Yellowhair denied his request and said there was only enough for his people to gather and harvest. Hawkwing then said the Shawnee would return and overtake him and his greed and unwillingness to share the land. At this, Yellowhair laughed at him and said every man who partook in such acts would be cursed, and as long as the offending race remained on earth, so shall the curse be. But that evening, Hawkwing, who professed his faith in the Great Spirit, took his warriors in canoes and reached the shores of the island just before daybreak. As the white giants were waking up to worship their sun god, Hawkwing caught them off guard and began his attack. Yellowhair then grabbed his battle axe and was said to have killed as many as 20 men in one swing. Hawkwing and his warriors continued their attack until numbers began to dwane. Yellowhair, now covered in wounds, was finally confronted by Hawkwing, who buried his own battle axe into his brain. Both men were covered in wounds, but Hawkwing stood victorious. His body now lay in front of the last remaining people, who Hawkwing's warriors continued to exterminate one by one. After the battle, Hawkwing took a small piece of the scalp of Yellowhair. He carried that lock on his belt and was said to have even been buried with it. But the Shawnee, one by one, for 300 years, have been said to have met terrible ends. They have all been killed in one way or another, as if the curse of Yellowhair was actually upon them. And just weeks later, after this interview, George Kelly, Miss Kelly's grandson, murdered her over $75 and then took his own life. Said it, and I think it was episode one. We're like, man, you know, I'm really excited about the giants. Of all the things that are compelling to me,
yeah.
So tonight we're talking about the giants, man.
I'm pumped. Like, this whole thing to me is super interesting, right? You bring in the stuff from the Bible, you bring in all the folklore, and then there's all these stories about, you know, people finding huge skeletons and then they're disappearing. And to me, that's like one of the big conspiracy theories. People always talk about Men in Black show up and take these things, right? And I don't really buy that. But I want to know if people are really finding these, where they are and what has happened. And so I'm excited to talk to, you know, one of the foremost experts on this topic, historically speaking. We've got a phenomenal guest on the way that's going to really open things up for us. And I'm really pumped because we were talking about an actual discovery from a newspaper from where I live in Franklin, Tennessee. I mean, you're up in Nashville, so we probably, for people that aren't familiar with the Nashville area in Tennessee, we're about 20 minutes or so from each other. I'm just south of the city. But apparently in the 1800s, they actually dug up, someone was digging a well, and they dug up a giant skeleton here in Franklin, Tennessee. And I'd never heard of that. You know, I'm from California, you're from California. We grew up probably a good hour from each other, ironically or not ironically. But here, in the 1800s, apparently they found a giant skeleton.
Not only did they find a skeleton, they found the biggest one.
Allegedly.
So, dude, one of the things that I will say this is a lot of people say do your own research, right? I've heard that term so many times in the last 10 years. Just do your own research, right? But we're talking about a guy who's done his research. Tonight we have Travis Roy on the show. I'm excited to get into it. Let's add him to the call.
Let's get him.
Welcome to the show, Travis Roy of Giants of Ancient America. Travis, you are a historian, a researcher of the unknown and forgotten past, but specifically the Giants. You've been kind of on the same road I was on. Last 10 years, you've been documenting your findings on the Giants, whereas I was in more in the Bigfoot realm, and we're kind of crossing paths now. Well, tell a little about yourself. You believe giants roamed the ancient past in America and built and erected all these massive burial sites, temple worship mounds. You even had some Bigfoot encounters too, which is crazy, but I think we're going to try to get to that, but you got a lot to say. And you've compiled over 700 newspaper articles in one place of these giant bones being excavated. And I think that's more than I've ever seen in one place. So maybe just give a little bit about yourself and then we'll go in and read that stuff. Sorry, that was a long intro, but I'm excited.
Oh, hey, well, thanks for having me here on your show. I feel honored. Yeah, probably starting in 2010. 2010 is whenever I started to kind of come across giants. I was studying the Celts, and as I was studying the Celts, I started to come across different stories and accounts that giants were among them, and that kind of threw me for a loop. I didn't expect that, and so I started delving into that. So the Celts kind of originated in what is modern-day France, and around the Black Sea.
So one day you were just searching and you got into the Celts and then one thing led to another?
Yeah.
I mean, did this all come out of like listening to Yanni? It was like, you know, just started really getting into that Celtic New Age.
Yeah, similar. I mean, sort of, you know, I was kind of into Yanni before that, honestly.
An honest man, I like that.
Okay, but I met my grandfather and I'd never met him before, so I met him right around that time, and I found out he was Celtic, and I was like, well, what's that? And so I started to pick up reading material, and basically they are, you know, what you have in modern Irish and Scottish, Welsh today, but they were all over Europe. And so I started studying that, and I came across a lot of accounts that giants were among them, and it made sense because you had the stone, standing stones over there. Stonehenge is a really popular one in England.
Yeah, I've been there. It's a weird sight.
You have? Sweet. I would love to go. I'd love to go one day.
That's like a humble brag from Nate there. He's already trying to one up Giants guy here.
No, hey, we were there on tour and took a day off. And
did you hear that? He just also dropped like we were on. You know, I was on tour. Just we're continuing the whole thing.
Yeah, right.
Hey guys, trying to give credibility to this show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, anyway, and so after studying that, I started to look just strictly into the giants. I was like, okay, because I didn't expect to find them. I bought some books on the giants, and long story short, I started to do my own research.
Can we just talk about that for a second? People love to say, laugh. Scholars will laugh at you when you say, I'm doing my own research. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's just like, oh, yeah, you're going to go, what are you going to do? Search the internet, and you're going to find some stuff? People are so, I don't know, they're so highbrow with that. Do your own research. But I'm like, you know, Bigfoot researchers, right? They're doing research and it's not considered real research. Even the word is like, well, there's some smart people doing this research. And then there's guys like you and I. Can you talk about that? Like, you're doing real research, scrolling through newspaper articles.
Oh, right. Yeah, no. So I found a website, chroniclingamerica.gov. And basically, it is just a ton of newspaper articles that are just online. So I started to search. You can just put any search word in there, but then you have to do a lot of scrolling through these newspapers. So that's what I started to do. And I found a whole lot of them. And so I started to document them for myself on an Instagram page because I didn't want, you know, to forget them. You know, here I am with like over 700 now. I wanted to find out for myself if, you know, these books were true. And I mean, the articles are there.
No, I'm glad you did it. When I found your account, I was like, this is great. You got over 1,100 followers. You're posting these photos. You're getting a few trolls now. People are starting to yell at you like, oh, come on, man.
Right.
But you're putting it all in one place and you're putting it out there. You're saying, look, here's 700 pieces of evidence. Do with it what you will.
Right.
And I like that.
Yeah.
Because you're not, I mean, this is real evidence. These are newspapers. And you were saying to me that there's like, oftentimes you'll find one giant skeleton excavated and then you'll have multiple newspapers reporting on the same event. It's not just one newspaper, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yep. You know, sometimes there'll be five or six of the same newspaper because you're looking it up and there'll be like all these from 1908 or whatever. And so I'll look at it. It's like, well, that's the same report. That's the same report. And so I'll scroll down. Once I kind of document that, I mean, sometimes you can pick the newspaper that looks best because some of these are really grainy newspaper pages.
And are these like the New York Times? Are these big newspapers? Or are they just like...
Sometimes they are, but they're from all over. I mean, some of them are newspapers that don't exist anymore.
Is this like microfiche? You're just looking at basically photos of microfiche because I'm sure these physical newspapers are long gone, correct? So
yeah, they are.
So this is uploaded into the databases and...
Correct.
You can kind of query whatever you're looking for in there.
Yeah, that's right.
For now.
Yeah, for now. You know, the longer I've done it, it seems like my searches don't bring up as much. And so I've kind of worried about that. I don't know why, but it seems like sometimes.
Oh, we know why.
Right.
I talked to a few Bigfoot guys and they say stuff goes missing all the time. So we're talking a huge hoard of bones that are MIA.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Luke?
Here's the two things I thought about as we were just getting this thing started. First off, I mean, you're talking about digging up articles, and I know based on some research I did before this show that these are 1800s and early 1900s, and so we're not seeing this anymore. That's one thing. For whatever reason, these aren't getting reported, or they aren't happening. Either way, it depends what side you fall on. And then, yeah, then what happens to the bones? I know there's a lot of theories about that. We've had some colorful guests that have a lot of Smithsonian theories about why these things disappear and how these things disappear. Why are there no more stories about this, one? And what do you think has happened, you know, since the 1900s, the turn of the century? I'm not someone that believes that all of the giant skeletons that ever existed in North America have been discovered at this point, correct? I mean, that just is ridiculous. Yeah.
I don't think so. Oh, about the Smithsonian, and it wasn't just them. They were sent to other colleges and universities. But you know, the reason I think that they aren't finding them anymore is, for one, I believe that the government has kind of put a cap on people being able to just go and dig into mounds. They're kind of sacred. And I get that. In a way, I kind of like these burials to be left alone. But I also would like to know what's in them too, right? The ones that haven't been excavated.
Yeah, Luke wants to go to the one by our house.
I do.
Is there one by your house?
There was a mound. Dude, you posted one mound picture on your account and it was,
yeah,
it's in Tennessee, like 130 miles away. Luke's like, let's go.
Yeah, we pointed that one out.
Yeah. That's the Pinson Mound Complex.
Pinson.
Yes. Yeah. Pinson, Tennessee. There are a lot of mounds there. Most of them are temple mounds, but there are burial mounds there as well.
Eventually, Luke, when we get 5,000 patrons, we'll go dig a hole, right?
There you
Let's just start a GoFundMe, just Luke and Nate's bail fund, and we'll just go do it. And so we'll get bailed out.
Did I answer your questions, Luke?
I mean, I think that you have a valid point. Like, the suppression of these things, it doesn't fit the narrative, right? So
yeah.
when you've based most of your modern academia and your thought process on Darwinism and the theory of evolution, when you throw a giant hominid in there, that existed in what we would call modern times, right? In the sense of,
yeah,
you know, in modern history, at least there's historical stuff, then you kind of really, really poke a hole in, you know, in the thread of linear evolution.
Yeah, and big one. A huge one.
Ah, man, I just wonder. It's like the Bigfoot thing for me again, like produce the body.
Well, I was going to say one thing before he reads one, and I think it goes back to what we were saying about the CIA experiments. And you mentioned this a couple times, Luke, that the CIA was putting the propaganda machine out there. And that didn't really hit till the 40s. And what do you know?
Right.
Before that, you have all these accounts in these newspapers. And then after that, when the CIA is huge, you don't have these accounts anymore. So why are they all late 1800s, early 1900s, and then they're gone?
It's a good question. I mean, it's a good point. When you think about
CIA, baby,
the beginning of campaigns of disinformation. We live in the age of disinformation right now. I truly believe that. There's you have to really weed through.
Yeah, it's not easy to find this stuff, right. And it's not taught in school books today. You know, kids aren't learning this. I didn't learn this.
But you're sitting on a mountain of evidence. You know how hard this would be to hoax?
A mound of evidence.
Yeah.
Multiple mounds that look like a snake. Here's the deal. You can't hoax 700 newspapers with fake bones. There have been a few documented fake bones where they try to get a bunch of people to come to their circus and pay money, right? There was one famous hoax about this.
Yeah.
And I texted my one buddy who graduated from Yale, and of course he sent me back the one hoax. And I'm like, okay, that's one hoax. We're talking 700 newspaper reports. You can't hoax that.
No.
I don't care. There's mathematically impossible, Luke. Right?
Yeah, but I want to listen to these first, and then I want to talk about the arguments I've seen.
All right, let's listen to them. Let's go.
But I want to dive in because I know one is close to where I live.
Let's do it.
And I want to go find this big dude.
Yeah.
Read it, baby.
Yeah, let's read that one. This article is a little long, and it's kind of blurry, so I'll do my best.
That's how we do it.
That's our theme.
Okay.
Long and blurry. Hey,
that's perfect then. Okay, this one is, it says 1845 is the report. It's called Giant's Bones. There have been recently dug up in Williamson County, Tennessee, 7 miles from Franklin, the bones of a giant, and no mistake, we have conversed with an intelligent and enterprising gentleman of our city who has seen, examined, and purchased an interest in the skeleton. From him, we have derived the following facts. And as I read a lot of these, they write a lot different than we speak today, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's like the King's English, right? It's like reading the King James Version of the Bible, right?
Yeah. Okay, a Mr. Schumann was boring for water near his residence upon a hill of considerable extent and eminence in rocky mountainous section of the country, where the bones were discovered about 60 feet beneath the surface. I mean, that's a long way down.
Right.
They were immediately exhumed and were found embedded in a strata of the hardest kind of clay, which had apparently filled an extensive cavern or opening in the rock. The position of the skeleton was that of recumbent, making an angle of the horizon. The bones are not at all petrified, as in... Sorry, guys, some of this is hard to read. With most of the skeleton monsters of animals which have been discovered in our country, but are nevertheless a most perfect state of preservation. The weight of the aggregate, about 1,500 pounds. No doubt rest in the minds of say who have seen or examined them that these bones belonging to the genus Homo. All the larger and characteristics bones are entire, and the skull, arms, and thigh bone, knee pans, shoulder sockets, collarbones, remove all skepticism as to their humanity. The whole skeleton, we are informed, is about 18 feet high, and must have stood a full 19 feet in stockings, if he wore any.
Dang!
A little antidote. I mean, if he wore socks.
Yeah, so that's pretty big. You know what? I started with one of the biggest. Actually, that might be the biggest one I have.
The biggest one is in your backyard, Luke.
Listen, like the stuff that I've seen pushback on this talks about misidentification, right? It's a mastodon.
Right.
Is a very common argument and pushback on finding giant bones, but they're talking about finding the collarbones, talking about the sock, shoulder sock, like very things that would be very, as they say in that article, very specific to humanity. Do I find that? I find that compelling.
I mean, that's two basketball poles walking around.
Yeah.
That's 60 feet down though. I'd love to like understand how they would date that. Like if we can't do that now, because I'm sure that the enterprising gentleman took these on tour and then they've disappeared. So,
were they digging a well? I mean, how did they even find him?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. They're
digging
a well.
I think he was digging a well.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of people don't realize that then, you know, you can't hook up to the city water. Got to dig yourself a well and you find this giant skeleton. So yeah, where does a 20 footer is a big deal
to go missing. Yeah, it is. And you know, honestly, most of them aren't that big, but that's a pretty big sized dude right there.
Well, they're saying, I mean, they're saying aggregate on the skeleton is 1,500 pounds. That's not including flesh or anything like, that's just how much the bones weigh.
Yeah.
That's a big old dome. I want to see this skull. Like, is that guy?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that guy's got a bigger head than I do.
Dude, I mean, that's the biggest one. I think we were out of the gate. I wanted to hit people right in the right between the eyes. The Bible says that some of them were as tall as cedar trees. And, you know, and a lot of my academic friends will say, oh, well, the Bible's just, you know, they're telling a story. They're trying to exaggerate. Nope. We got a skeleton of a 20-footer. They weren't exaggerating. That's do with it what you will.
It makes you wonder about, like, when we go back to this and talk, we talked about the Nephilim at one point and the flood, right, with Noah and sort of the destruction of the earth as you know, and as the Bible tells it.
Correct.
It's interesting that this skeleton's found within clay that's inside of a rock cavern, right? It would almost behoove that thing filled with water and dirt in, say, a flood. Just a theory. Just listen to what it says. I mean, that's
also a lot of the Native American reports say they trapped him in, they buried him in these caves, and they trapped him in caves, and they got rid of him kind of that way. But yeah, no, you're right, Luke. Like, because it says in the Bible, it says they were there before and after, and the theory is they might have gone in underground and locked themselves in these holes to escape the flood, but maybe it didn't work. Maybe water got in and they died. Who knows, right? Is that kind of what you're saying,
yeah,
Luke?
Kind of. I'm just saying, like, if the strata, if you're finding somebody within a bunch of clay that's sort of in a rock casing, maybe the theory would be that if the ground level was, you know, at 60 feet below where they found it at the time, that perhaps this is the space just filled up with all the sediment and dirt and everything else you'd find when you had something like a flood. And then you would, it's that clay hardened and over, thousands of years, the encasing would put that body in clay inside of some sort of rock area that would have filled up with dirt. I mean, that's my only thought. I'm not even, you guys, I'm spitballing here, Travis.
Well, I definitely agree with that because, I mean, the guy was pretty big. A lot of these other ones that are found in burial mounds, you know, not relatively that deep, they're not as big. Now, this guy was found, you know, way down. And I, you know, the Bible does say, Amos 2:9 says, yet it was I, the Lord speaking, who destroyed the Amorite before them, even though his height was like the cedars and he was as strong as the oaks. Again, that's Amos 2:9.
Wow.
I think a lot of the older ones, you know, the original ones were pretty big. I mean, way bigger than we'd want to mess with.
Yeah.
But I think as long as they, you know, they started to intermarry with other people, you know, different, I guess, more Homo sapiens, that they got a little smaller as time went along, but they were still pretty big.
For those listening, I've heard this said a lot that, like, the reason why these people are so obsessed with bloodlines is this right here, trying to keep your stature and your height to rule over people. If you're an ancient person, you're a king and you're 10 foot tall, right? People look up to you and go, okay, yeah, he can be king because he's 10 footer. He's got a giant head.
Yeah, who's going to argue with him, right?
Yeah. And supposedly they were connected to these supernatural entities, so they had actual spiritual power. So multiple things going on there. But I think you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe the older ones are taller. That's a great point.
And this is what I think is compelling in a lot of these, too, is they're finding these skeletons allegedly in stone coffins or an actual burial. So for this to be an animal that they couldn't identify, or a mastodon or some sort of prehistoric fossil that they just didn't know about in the 1800s. You kind of can throw that stuff out the window when you find these things I would think for the most part, unless these ancient people were keeping, you know, mastodon pets and they buried them proper, like in a pet cemetery, and that's what we're uncovering. You would assume that these are actual humanoid, they're sapien, they're sapien, and they're being buried with in a way that rules out it being, you know, a misidentification by someone 150 or 200 years ago.
Here's an article, and this isn't one I even talked to you about. I just, while I had some extra time, I found this one. And this one has some giants, but they're also buried with an altar and some bronze utensils. So
those bronze age, right? And we're talking,
I guess so.
You would think.
And
this
is South Dakota. So let me read this one here. It's a tomb containing the skeletons of 22 males 8 feet high unearthed. This is in Eagan, South Dakota, June 11th, 1894. Archaeologists will be interested in a discovery at this place. While digging into a mound, the remains of a race of prehistoric giants were unearthed. A tomb was uncovered lined with cement. So that right there is some sort of cement structure they had within the dirt.
Interesting.
In the tomb's compartments were 22 male skeletons averaging 8 feet in height. Sorry, something just banged the wall, so I don't know what that was. Something kind of banged the wall. A rude altar and many bronze utensils were exposed.
So I'm gonna throw. I just got in a huge fight with my buddy about this on text message for like over like 3 days of us texting about this stuff. And I just want to throw out the voice of the skeptics right now. Some of those people would say, "Oh yeah, well we have NBA players. They're tall." And I would fire back, "No, we're talking 25 dudes that are 8 foot tall all in the room. So gigantism, right? The argument that, oh yeah, we have people that are that tall these days. There's only 1 in 1 million people have gigantism. That's how rare it is.
It's a pituitary disorder.
Right.
I mean, literally, yeah, right. your pituitary gland continues to produce human growth hormone until the day you die.
Yep.
Essentially, you die from it, too. It's like George Mirasan, all these giants that we've seen to play in, you know, the NBA and so much. They grow their entire life and ends up killing them. It's a lot different that you're having 22 minute bulls living in, in South Dakota.
We have to throw that out there.
Right.
Because I think that's what people are thinking. Like, oh, yeah, well, could be just a bunch of tall dudes.
Yeah, but you think about the average height of those people then too versus now because of the nutrition we have. Because
that argument doesn't hold any weight to me. It's just like, no,
that's my point, dude, is that everybody was a lot shorter then.
Totally.
Like a bunch of hobbits running around. They think I was a giant.
You are a giant.
Well, in the hearts and minds of many, yes.
I love it. That's good. I've heard the same argument, though, as well.
So that was number two. So we had how many again? 25?
22.
That one was 22 giants that were average 8 feet tall, and they were all male. So I don't know. They must have been possibly warriors. I'm not sure.
This next one, I think I know what you're going to read, and I'm fascinated to talk about this.
Travis, choose wisely, because Nate really set the stage there.
I know, right? Now I'm having to try to to read his mind.
Which one is he talking about?
I know which one Nate likes, so let's read that one.
Yeah, see?
Okay, this is another one from South Dakota. It's a little bit different, and hopefully it doesn't change the direction of the conversation too much. We can get it right back to giants. This does have to do some about giants. South Dakota railroad graders. This dates at 1908, August the 29th. A remarkable prehistoric burying ground has been cut into by railroad graders near here, and the remains of what appears to be a pygmy race have been discovered. The old burying ground is now a great deposit of gravel, and is in the bones are found. Some 50 skeletons have so far been unearthed. These are all of a race of dwarves, about 4 feet high, and physicians have pronounced them the remains of adults and not children. The bodies were buried standing or sitting. One of the skeletons, however, of a giant more than 8 feet high. Near the giant skeleton was found a number of copper implements, as well as several of bone. In one of the graves were two copper idols about 8 inches tall. So that's that one right there will make you scratch your head.
Henry Hudson.
Yeah, we did talk about Henry Hudson. Yeah,
he had a report of his men getting drunk with some dwarves.
Wow,
and it's come up several times. So here we have 50 dwarves, and they're not kids.
They're not kids. No, averaging 4 feet tall.
Yeah, I mean, you said that they buried some standing up, so they didn't have to be buried that deep.
Yes, right,
that's one of the advantages. I don't know. This could go so many ways for me.
Yeah, they must have all been the same race. They all lived together. But what I found really interesting is that there was this 1 8-foot giant buried with them.
I wonder if he was their king or if he was their slave. I don't wonder.
You know what? Maybe he was an outcast giant. He wasn't as big as the others. And he's like, man, I need to be a king of somebody.
Yeah, they threw him out. And he just went and found the smallest people he could find. I mean, that's wild, though. I mean, let me ask you this. When you find some of these articles, so say the one you talked about and just now, or the one before about South Dakota and the 22, are there any follow-ups? Have you found any follow-up articles where they talk about archaeologists may be very interested in this discovery of 22 giants, or, you know, the physician said these are, you know, full-grown adult. Have there ever been any follow-ups? I mean, these things just disappear, like, just, like, into the wind after...
For me, personally, I haven't discovered any like follow-up on hardly any of these.
Right.
It doesn't mean that there aren't. It's really hard when I'm researching. I'm just researching words. Mm-hmm. And like I said, sometimes it doesn't bring up a whole lot. Sometimes it does. Sometimes yeah. it's a whole lot about a circus. And so I'm just scrolling through all these reports about a circus, you know, in the late 1800s, you know, they had these freak shows, you know, these giants and these, you know, all the stuff they had.
Right.
So that's a good question. That's a real good question.
You know, I did a little research for myself and trying to dig through the website and kind of see how it works. And you're right. You actually do research. You have to sit there and read through newspaper after newspaper after newspaper and see if like, okay, where are they getting with this? And it is interesting that stuff goes missing. And that's what my friend said. He said, so we were kind of texting back and forth. He's a smart guy. He's like, dude, back in the day, this is his argument, newspapers were just trying to grow their own brand. So they would print that they would find these bones to try to get people to read their newspaper. And I'm like, he's like, fake news existed back then, man. Wake up. And I'm like, okay, maybe 10%. You can't fool all the people all the time. And what do you think about that argument? Because that just made me mad. I was angry. I'm like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
There's more than like two or three of these. I mean, what do people do? What are some pushback you get from your friends and people in your community?
Yeah, I've heard that similar argument as well. To be honest, I haven't seen a bone. I haven't seen any of these bones, but I've seen the mounds and I know the Bible is true. That's my belief. And I found all these real articles. I mean, there's so many of them. There are some things that you can see tangibly today. There's, you know, some Native American museums have these massive stone axe heads. They're like battle axes, but a lot of them are made of like really hard, like a granite stone. And I have personally seen some of these, and there is no way. I'm 6'2", and there's no way I could hold that thing up with, you know, when it had a stick attached to it.
Yeah, we should talk about the weaponry. I asked you, I texted you about that. Like, hey, you know, is there anything about the weaponry? And so we had a guy on Duke who was talking about the mountain giants that people still see. So supposedly some of these things are still underground and coming out and appearing every once in a while.
Allegedly.
But they have these giant clubs.
Yeah.
Do you find any giant axes, giant swords, shields, any of that stuff?
Yeah. Well, let me read this next one. It mentions some weaponry.
Awesome.
Okay. This one is from New York State, dated 1916, and the title is called Find Horned Giants Buried in Indian Mound in the Valley of Susquehanna, 700 years old. So they're assuming they're 700 years old in 1916. So, okay, here we go. Birmingham, New York, July the 14th. Professor A.B. Skinner of the American Indian Museum, Professor W.K. Moorhead of Phillips Andover Academy, and Dr. George Donahue of Pennsylvania State Historian, who have been conducting a research party along the valley of the Susquehanna, have uncovered an Indian mound at Tioga Point on the upper portion of Queen Esther's Flats on the Murray Farm, a short distance from Sayre. In the mound were found the bones of 68 men, which are believed to have been buried 700 years ago. The average height of these men, when the skeletons were assembled, was 7 feet, while many were much taller. So I don't know what much taller means, but that's what it says. Further evidence of their gigantic size was found in large stone axes in the grave. On some of the skulls, 2 inches above the perfectly formed foreheads, protuberances of bone, evidently horns that had been there since birth. Members of the expedition say that it is the first discovery of its kind on record. The skull and a few bones found in the grave were shipped to the American Indian Museum.
Wow.
Talking straight trolls.
Right?
That's wild, dude. That is wild. Like, I mean, because, look, our first guest talked about trolls. Luke was just, like, an outer space about that one. And here you are talking about the bones of a troll.
Right, yeah.
It's all connected. It's all I can't tell you in, like, 3 episodes how much of this information.
Is a troll because it has horns? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's not it doesn't sound like a different type of beast. Horns in the head?
It's not like they were saying it was human,
though. I mean, they were human. Not all of them had horns. I mean, there's 68 men, giant men. They were all 7 foot and higher. But on some of them, they had horns. So it sounds like to me, it says the skull and a few bones found in one grave were shipped to the American Indian Museum. They didn't send all of them away. I'm not sure what they did with most of them. It's pretty weird. And honestly, whenever I would come across these, I didn't post them right away. I was like, man, this is just weird.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so, but I was like, well, why not?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
To me, it sounds like it sounds more like a Nephilim thing to me than it does trolls. If you're to believe like the imagery, you know, of the demonic,
the devil horns,
and supposedly where the Nephilim are hybrid beings, you know, of fallen angels and humans, maybe that isn't far off. I mean, that's kind of it's just wild.
Well, who's gonna bust Tolkien for plagiarizing?
Here,
I don't buy the troll. I just don't buy the trolls. You can't lead me down that. You can't lead me down that road. I can't do that, Nate.
You got a skeleton with horns coming out of it. I mean, what else?
Yeah, I mean,
how weird does it have to get for you to believe and stuff?
The Nephilim, they had some weird anomalies. Some of them had 6 toes, 6 fingers on each hand. So whenever you had that happening with, you know, whatever happened between angels and women, and you created this offspring called the Nephilim, it wasn't right. It wasn't supposed to happen. And so what happened to them wasn't always normal. So you had the 6 fingers, 6 toes sometimes. Maybe you had horns. I mean, I have 3 different accounts here with different accounts with some dudes with horns. And they're not all growing from the same spot on their head. Sometimes it's on the forehead. Sometimes it's behind the ears. Sometimes it's in front of the ears. And I've also come across an article before with them having double rows of teeth, which isn't normal. So I think what happens with some of these individuals, weird things happen when they're born because it's not normal.
Right. You're getting a weird mixture of DNA. I mean, however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Here's something I've heard about the 6 fingers. So okay. I've heard this from several different locations, that this is why Native Americans would hold their hand up when they would say hello to each other to show that they had 5 fingers.
Oh, wow.
Some would say that that's taking it too far, but the Native Americans are reported to battle and kill these beasts, and so they would hold their hand up, show, hey, I have 5 fingers. I don't have 6. I'm human. I don't know, but I've heard that.
I mean, couldn't you tell the person was a giant, like, just by his stature?
Probably. But, I mean, like you said, they're digging them up, and they're various sizes, so who knows, right?
It's wild.
Yeah, I mean.
That's wild, though. The horns is wild.
But that's one giveaway. So what are we on, number 5, 4 already? 4 or 5?
We're 4 in.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think we're on to 5 here.
We're just, our minds are blown. Doesn't even matter what number we're on.
Travis, are you ranking these, or are we talking about like just sort of in any particular order?
Not really. I'm just kind of throwing them out there.
I told them to pull out the most interesting ones, and so far, I love it.
Yeah, that's weird stuff right there. Honestly, that one and the one with the little people with the giant.
The dwarves, I was about to say, dude, we're living in Narnia right now. Or at least they were 150 years ago.
Yeah, Tolkien, he wrote a history book. That's all he did. It wasn't fiction at all.
Just, you know, changed the names for protection of identities, right?
Frodo was buried with all of his buddies.
Yeah, he was. Indeed.
It kind of brings that whole Lord of the Rings to life. Like, that's what I thought of when I read that account. I was like, I can't believe I'm seeing this. It's like, maybe there's more truth.
There's reports of the little people, and they say like that are still out there. Stealing people, missing 411, all that stuff. A lot of people think it's the little people. We've heard that from our other two guests talk about the little people. Now you're talking about the little skeletons. I mean, this is 3 episodes in, and people are probably going to be just like, what in the, what is this podcast? You know,
we're going full coast to coast here, right, man? I'll need just some callers to come in here and be like, yeah, I saw this UFO yesterday when I was,
dude, yeah. I mean, do with it what you will.
You know what? It kind of gives some legitimacy to those, you know, the eyewitnesses you talked to on some of those little people.
Exactly.
Plus the Irish, exactly. The Irish have been talking about little people forever.
Oh, you're right.
Back to the Celts. Here we go. Nate's red beard. Nate's red beard reminded me of that.
Am I part Nephilim?
Yeah. Or
no, I would think more Celt.
Okay.
I am. I mean, I'm like not Nephilim. I'm a good 70% probably Celt, Scottish and Irish. I just had some. We have the Black Irish, right, where they get the dark hair.
Right. Yeah, I got some of that going on too. Some of my ancestors.
Our families probably fought together, you know, on the same side.
We did.
Yeah, against the Nephilim and the Giants.
On the same side.
Nate's family.
Yeah.
Come on. We're nice.
We're nice guys.
The thing about these giants, you find these giants all over the place. I have one here from Wisconsin. Let me read that. It's from 1909. Skeleton found 8 feet tall. Bones of a mound builder unearthed at Ferryville attract attention of antiquarians. It's a different word. Hmm. Anyway, Wisconsin, September the 30th. The skeleton of a prehistoric man, which assembled, indicates that the being whose bones were found by C.H. Lawrence of Ferryville, measured 8 or 9 feet in height, has been unearthed near Vicuola and is attracting great curiosity and attention. Together with the skeleton are many other bones of the same nature and far larger than normal size. 3 complete jaw bones have been found among the collection, in each of which all the teeth were intact and perfect, although one of the specimens, the molars, have been shortened by wearing the level of the gums. A peculiarity of the teeth is that the molars are worn more on the left side than on the right, indicating that the beings in life chewed and gnawed principally on that side. The skeleton and bones were unearthed in a mound, and it is thought that the bones are from the mound-building age of men who have lived centuries before the white men discovered America.
It almost sounds like you had these giants here building stuff, then the natives came, and then the white man came. There's history we're not being told. That's what it sounds like to me. There's just stuff here that's...
Yeah. I just wish it was taught in schools, because I mean, it's a pretty awesome history. I mean, you still have all the mounds. There are, you know, there's stone megaliths up in the northeast. There's a standing stone in Oklahoma I went and saw with Viking runes on it.
Wow.
And it's the stone itself is 14 feet tall. It's a big slab. So there's a lot that is not taught. And I kind of wish, I really wish that it has been or had been in the past.
Yeah, there's megalithic sites in the United States is what you're saying. And you believe these beings made these megalithic sites all around the world.
I think, yeah, I believe that. Stonehenge and, you know, Easter Island. And it's my personal belief that even like some of the big pyramids down in Mexico might have been built by these individuals.
And they got the body for it.
Can we go back real quick, Travis? Can you talk about the mounds, like the significance of the mounds, the theories around the mounds? Because Nate just kind of, and you both alluded to the fact that there was an age of mound builders. What can you explain, like, to me particularly, and then also I guess to our listeners that aren't familiar, what, talk about the mounds, the significance of them, the theories about who built them, etc., and also then if you could tie this up for us and how it relates to giants, because I know they're finding these bones in some of these mounds, but talk about the mounds for a second.
Well, the mounds are interesting in that you can almost find them almost anywhere on Earth, and it seems like there's always giants that are associated with them. Not always, there's always seems to be giants buried within them, or in a lot of them, like, and I'm talking about, be it Japan, the British Isles, France, United States, and, you know, probably everywhere else. But I know those for a fact. I've on my personal study, I've found that. And I think it just kind of goes back to, they might have been a similar race of people, just kind of dispersed across the earth in different directions. At some point, they stopped doing that, and I don't know if it had to do with the coming of Christ when a lot of pagan ways ceased. That's kind of the extent that I know of them. I know the Saxons built mounds, and, you know, not all the Saxons and Celts were giants, but those people at one time lived among them, so I'm not sure what happened to the giants. I don't know if a lot of them died off. You know, you find them buried in the mounds, but you don't really see them today. So something happened, whether there were wars with people or judgments from God. Famine
and these plagues. These mounds were burial sites.
Most of them were.
You alluded before there was also ones that were like temple sites, correct? So maybe they both were correct. One, and maybe they were burial and temple sites, but all that we find left of their really of their existence and structures and are these giant earthen mounds, and now a lot of them, because they're considered to be associated with Native Americans, at least on our side of the pond here,
right.
You're not able to excavate them. So we don't know what's in a lot of them now. But yeah. Before that happened,
correct.
Before they were protected, a lot of these stories you're finding were coming out of these mounds, what people were finding inside these mounds.
Correct. Yeah. You're finding different types of inscriptions that are unrecognizable in these mounds. Mm. For instance, in, I believe it's the Back Creek Stone, which was somewhere either Tennessee, I think it's in Tennessee somewhere. There was a stone found under the head of a skeleton in the mound that ended up translating into some sort of Hebrew. But today, you know, the Native Americans have claims to these lands, and who knows, maybe some of them are descended from these people. You know, I know I'm not descended from a giant. You know, if I had some Native American,
you're saying a giant that was discovered here had Hebrew under its head?
Yeah, there were some Hebrew found in the north. There were some Hebrew found in Tennessee. You know, there's been Viking runestones discovered in the north and also in Oklahoma. So there's a whole lot of different languages going on within some of these mounds.
Yeah, you're talking ancient. We're talking older than Native American cultures. And you're talking a migration, their connections
correct.
Back to the Holy Lands. So what I've read, and I've heard this a lot, is that what you had is you had Joshua, who was really the badass of the Old Testament, going out and whooping tail on these beasts. I mean, he was the man. And he scared them half to death, and they started migrating around the world. Because you find this stuff in Peru. You find this stuff in Mexico. You find this stuff in North America. You said there was bones in Japan. You're talking these things got out of the Holy Lands and moved on, but they had this... They brought their little receipts, like they where they came from. Sounds like to me, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's Phoenician discovered in America as well, too.
I've heard that. And I was reading one of the articles too. These are all into like pinned on Pinterest of all things. But yeah. I was looking at a few of these that said they were finding bolts.
What's your Pinterest name, Luke?
It's secret. I've got a secret. I have a secret wedding board from last year.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Kidding. No. There's a bowl that had hieroglyphics on it. So they're talking about these. Like just like Travis was saying, these ancient languages that were inscribed upon pottery and bowls and tablets that exist in these mounds, that it's not Cherokee or Sioux. We're not talking about a language you know, that it would be more postmodern than these. But and I find that unbelievably fascinating.
Even if you don't believe in the giants, people don't know how these mounds were made. They don't know how these stones were moved. They don't know how these megaliths were built. There's still so much we don't know. And I think you can't listen to this and write it all off. Wow, the giants didn't exist. I mean, we don't understand these structures.
Right.
But I never knew that there was like literal engravings of these languages brought over here to America. That's blowing my mind.
This Celtic writing, which is called Ogham, it's just a form of Celtic writing or Celtiberian writing in Colorado, different places in the East. A book that I have, which y'all might be interested in, it talks a whole lot about these ancient languages found in America. It's called America BC by Barry Fell. That's a really good book to have in your library for fun reading.
Yeah.
Kind of brush up on some of that stuff. And it focuses a lot on the ancient peoples that were here, not really their size. And that's the thing. I mean, I found a report on a giant in the Scandinavia. He was found in ice, I believe, and it was and he was still had all his clothes on, like the Viking era clothes, and he was 7 foot. And so there's not a whole lot of people 7 foot on average today in Scandinavia. So
yeah,
where do those dudes go? What happened to them?
I mean, Rick Smits. All I'm thinking about is Rick Smits, the dunking Dutchman. He's the only person I ever thought of as 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
Luke's got a well of knowledge about sports and sports figures.
Right. Yeah, well, especially if you're talking about 80s and 90s NBA.
Dude. Duke came on and he said that the difference between Bigfoot and giants is giants wear clothes. There's reports of them having clothes. They have more technology. Bigfoot seems more rural.
Yeah, a little more primitive.
More rural. Us rural folk don't wear clothes, mate.
Rural's not the right word. Bigfoot's
a little
more
primitive.
Yeah, a little more. Yeah.
Primitive is the word, and rural came out. Yeah.
Maybe a little more liberal. There's a little more liberal with their bodies.
I'll try that again.
Liberal, love it.
Bigfoot's more primitive. There's been people who've called into shows and said, hey, I saw this giant 18-foot tall creature walking through the woods, and it had furs on, moccasins. And like fur clothing. Isn't that kind of what you're describing? Like,
yeah, well, I don't have that particular one in front of me, But I did, on some of my research, I came up with an article, and I, you know, it was kind of in the same time zone, right? The late 1800s, early 1900s. And there was these couple guys in the woods, and they heard something. They looked up, and not too far away from them was this gigantic creature. Well, they called it like a wild man or something. He was standing there, but he was covered with hair. But he was holding a club, like a stick, a big club. And he had a loincloth on and some moccasins, but that's it. But the thing that stood out to me is it was covered in hair, which, you know, reminded me of, you know, Sasquatch and stuff like that. Stories of that.
I have not heard any stories of Sasquatch wearing clothes.
No. And so I don't know what that is. I mean, the hair is what reminded me of Sasquatch.
Sounds like a giant in Sasquatch hybrid. I mean, we're about to just go, this is starting to be Inception level stuff now.
Yeah.
You got giants and Sasquatches that are hooking up on the side.
Man.
And this is... Hey, Travis, so I know you...
Luke, you're making it weird, not me.
That's why I moved on from there. I know that Travis had some honorable mentions as well.
There was one I was going to say. There was 500 skulls.
Okay, yeah, let me read that one. Okay.
Talk about that one.
Let me pull that one up here. Yeah, that one was in Virginia.
Hey, we hope you're having a good time listening to this episode with Travis. He's great. It's been one of my favorites so far. We try to keep our shows about an hour, so we're going to split this one up into two parts. So check in next week for part two with Travis. It's pretty cool. We finish up talking about the giants, and then we get into Bigfoot. Travis had some Bigfoot sightings of his own, and we talk about him seeing lights in the forest, all kinds of cool stuff. So thank you for listening to our show. We appreciate it a lot. If you can, right now, seriously, go rate us. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. We put a lot of work into the show already. Original artwork and original music even. Some of it. And, you know, we're really going for it. So we really hope you guys are enjoying this. And we're lining up guests. Got a lot of things going on. We're having fun. So, check in next week, part 2, Travis Roy, Giants of Ancient America. And we'll see you then. Thank you.